Welcome to Total Health Transformation Podcast, hosted by Dr. Danny Scarhill. Dr. Danny is a doctor of chiropractic, an author, speaker, and trainer. And on the THT podcast, he interviews other health experts to glean further insights that will help you achieve total health transformation.
Welcome to the Total Health Transformation Podcast. My name's Dr. Danny Scarhill, the founder of DannyScarhill.com, the author of Total Health Transformation, the proven system to unlock limitless energy, motivation, and health, and the creator of the Total Health Transformation programs. Let's get straight into it on this episode. Today on the podcast, we've got a fantastic guest for you. He's a published author, international speaker, workshop leader, a healer, a coach, spiritual leader, and an all-round peaceful warrior. Coming from an eclectic and extensive background of healing and spiritual traditions, he's inspired people all over the world with a practical message of hope and healing. For almost 30 years, he's lived his mission to awaken the awareness of oneness between the spiritual and the physical. He operated Safe Haven Chiropractic with his wife, Hillary, a healing center based on donations only for 23 years. Thousands of individuals and families were given the opportunity to embrace their gifts, pursue their dreams, and find peace and wholeness that reside within all of us. Stu and Hillary travel the world teaching the principles of life and have participated in 6 chiropractic missions in Central America, bringing those principles to manifestation for literally thousands of people. Welcome to the THT podcast, Dr. Stu Bittman. How are you doing, sir?
That's a pretty impressive guy, huh?
Yes, absolutely.
Cool. I'm doing great, Danny. How are you?
Yes, very well. Thanks very much for asking, mate. So your journey has been quite eclectic and extensive, hasn't it? Tell us about your journey. How did you get to where you are today?
Oh gosh, yes, it's going to take the whole half hour when you're 63 and a half years old. So I'll give you the highlights. Yes, I graduated in 1986 from chiropractic school and went through a self-transformation and also a transformation of my understanding of chiropractic, having graduated valedictorian from a more mechanistic school, shall we say. And, it was beautifully at some point exposed to the principles of chiropractic and ran with them, and yes, participated in actually 7 missions now, and which were a huge part of my growth, and got into, I suppose you would say, the more spiritual aspects of life and chiropractic. And then I, towards the end of my chiropractic practice years, I got involved in this new thought movement called Unity, and it's very similar in its principles to chiropractic. And I became actually a minister and ran a spiritual center for 12 years, and coinciding with chiropractic practice for a couple of years. And then I just retired from that February of this year. And now I'm focusing more on workshops and coaching and those sort of things. So that's the capsule version.
Excellent. Good stuff. So in terms of being a chiropractor for many years and also a minister for over a decade, I believe, wasn't it, as a minister?
12 years.
Yeah. What were the biggest lessons that you learned from both of those institutions, if you like, you could say, really? What were the biggest lessons you learned in those times?
Well, I learned a lot of lessons about chiropractic by being a minister. So in retrospect, so I got involved and it actually helped me make the choice to choose ministry because I thought I would be addressing more of the cause of people's situations, which I believed and actually still believe starts in consciousness. And so anyway, I found out in a relatively short period of time, my wife and I both noticed that people actually weren't getting or expressing the kind of changes in their life that we had seen through our entire chiropractic practice. So I learned, I believe, the value of the chiropractic adjustment, which I had a pretty high vision for when I was in practice, but it was actually magnified a lot through the fact that I couldn't use my hands. Well, I could have, but it didn't happen that way as a minister. And yeah, we did not see the changes. People maybe embraced the ideas a little more and could tell you more about the principles, but didn't really embody them or practice them. It was more entertainment for most people. So yeah, I learned a lot about chiropractic.
Cool. It's interesting that.
By not being a chiropractor, yes.
Yeah, okay, cool. So by taking that, the break from chiropractic, so to speak, it made you appreciate it even more by the sounds of it.
It made me appreciate the power of the adjustment, and it also made me appreciate the power of the principle and the consciousness in chiropractic. I come away much more empowered and going to chiropractic events than, you know, events in Unity that are, you know, geared specifically for consciousness. Not sure if that makes any sense, but yeah, I think there's a very high consciousness level in chiropractic. Maybe not across the entire profession, but it's there. So yeah, it's pointed that out clearly to me in both of those things.
Yeah, absolutely. There is definitely segments of chiropractic that totally resonate with what you've just been saying, and segments that, let's say, possibly do not.
They just don't know yet.
Indeed. Yeah, they don't know yet. That's a great way of framing it. So in terms of people's relationships with their own emotions, in your experience, what have you found to be the relationship between people's emotions that they experience and then the choices that they make based on that?
Well, I, in my experience, and especially being in my own head, for years, I emotions were just something to either justify or blame on somebody else, or then, of course, through my spiritual evolution, I got to the point where I stopped blaming other people and I started blaming myself. This is sarcasm, by the way. I know. I hope it lies on your podcast. I think it's actually a common step on people's spiritual journeys when they start blaming themselves. So I don't think it's a great step or actually a place we should hang out very long at. So feelings I used to go right to my head with and do all kinds of things other than feel them. So that's the first thing I would say about it. If people's emotional health gets a lot better when they accept their own feelings and, you know, even embrace their own feelings, because even if they seem off or they seem wrong, they are, I believe, really pointing out something that's a valid need or a value that we've maybe not adopted the right strategy at achieving or something, but feelings can be our friends. And I think that's, you know, and the ability to kind of be aware of that, I think, starts with feeling better about ourselves. So, and it's hard to feel good about oneself when you're having these feelings that you think are wrong or you're blaming yourself for. So it's to me, everything boils down to self-care and self-love and, you know, feeling better about ourselves so we can make the kind of choices we want to make. Because I know I make much better choices when I feel good about myself first. You know, and I no longer believe that if I beat myself up enough, I'll feel good about myself. You know, like some magical quota will be reached or something, or I've paid my dues because I beat myself up enough. You know, I definitely operated under this belief for a long time, and I believe a lot of people do. But I know, take it from me, you know, you can't, I don't think I ever feel anything but beat up when I beat myself up. I never really got to the point where I felt good about it, so, or about me. So So I hope this is answering your question.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I loved what you said about embracing your emotions, because the reality is most people, if they feel what they perceive as a negative emotion, they try and push it down or hide mm-hmm. it, or you know, change their state by maybe, I don't know, doing something like having a drink or whatever to try and change their emotional state.
Absolutely. You're right. I've tried all of those things.
I think everyone has at some stage.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't necessarily think it's gotten better in the world in that way. But anyway, I definitely agree.
Yeah, 100%, mate. So in terms of, you know, we were talking just now about having a better relationship with yourself. How do you think that would affect having a better relationship with yourself? How's that going to affect how you adapt to and cope with stress in your life in terms of health?
Well, I mean, on every level, I think it's critical. I think it's the most important thing for our health is to have a better relationship with ourselves, and especially a relationship where we have trust and faith in ourselves and in our power and in our capabilities. And you know, and there's a lot of evidence to back up that we could all feel pretty good about ourselves. I mean, according to Deepak Chopra, our bodies are doing like 600 octillion things in any 1 second or something like that. That's pretty good. It's pretty good for a species that has difficulty chewing gum and walking at the same time consciously. Yeah. So there are a lot of reasons why we could feel good. I mean, you know, the problem is we all have done things that we don't feel good about, or we haven't done things we think we should, or we said something or we didn't say something. And, you know, we can sort of write a master's thesis about our mistakes and our shortcomings. But, you know, that to me, that's only because that's what we focused on more. So to have a better relationship with self, I think, starts with paying more attention to what's good and beautiful and true about ourselves. And there are a lot of things if we just look for them and acknowledge them and appreciate them. Because, you know, take it from me, I'm older than probably a lot of people listening. And if you're older, write to me, that'll make me happy. you know, you don't know what's going to happen next in life. Not sure if you've all come to that realization, but it's a big surprise party out there. And I, you know, what makes the most sense to me is, first of all, appreciating what I have now and learning to cultivate a feeling of what I call enoughness now, and develop a good relationship with myself now. And so I can, find those things about myself that I'm going to need when, I say, the schmutz hits the fan, so to speak, because it does. So, you know, it's really nice to go through life, even though you don't know what's going to happen next, just knowing you can find joy and knowing you can find appreciation and gratitude and know that you can express and experience love, even for yourself, because you're guaranteed to be there down the road when, no matter what happens. So, critical, actually. And you know, stop affirming what we already know we don't like about ourselves, and maybe you know, look into, just like with feelings, those things we don't like about ourselves are pointing out, again, valid needs, needs that haven't been met, that, you know, but they can be. We just might need a different strategy. We might just need to use that feeling or that thing we don't like about ourselves in a different way. So it serves, you know, this all leads to feeling good about ourselves, because, we'll be making better choices.
Absolutely. I loved what you said about enoughness. I'm assuming that's relating to having enough and feeling good enough and all that kind of thing. Is that what you're referencing there?
Well, yeah, because, you know, a lot of what comes up for us and that I think has a direct effect on our health, is this constant feeling of not enough, of lack, of whether it's about me or about my situation or my health or my money. You know, we're focused on lack, and we're focused on the distance between where we are and where we think we should be. Or so all of those things, yeah, don't really help us feel better about ourselves. And again, I'm a little older. I hang out with guys who are older than me. I go to these men's retreats, and they've been waiting their whole life to experience enough. And yeah, retirement didn't really do it either. It's not enoughness. It's not based on what we have or how much, because, you know, there are people who have more than I think they can possibly know what to do with, and they still don't feel like it's enough. I tell a story about goals. That I had a goal of seeing a certain number of patients in my chiropractic practice a week, and I was very close to the goal, but I wasn't focused on the many people that I was serving. I was focused on people who, you know, didn't show up that week, so I didn't hit my goal. And then when I finally did hit my goal, it felt good for about 8 milliseconds before my mind came up with, okay, what's the next goal? So I realized that, you know, life can be like a dog race with a mechanical rabbit that we're always chasing, or we can cultivate again the ability to know enough now, because just because we might have more later in the future doesn't mean we're going to even notice it or be able to appreciate it or feel the kind of things we want to feel. Again, that's a beautiful question, because that all starts with how we feel about ourselves, that sense of enoughness. Because even when my bank account's a little low, if I have faith in myself and my creative ideas and my ability to share my gifts, then, you know, it's going to be a different experience for me. It's going to be, like somebody said, I've been broke many times, but I've never been poor. You know, poor being a state of mind, of a state of lack, whereas broke is a temporary situation that I have experienced in my life.
Absolutely. I mean, you can look at things one of two ways in that respect, can't you? From a position of abundance, or a perception of abundance, or a perception of lack. I know which one I prefer.
Me too. And I've experienced both, so
yeah,
clear choice.
Absolutely. So, you know, in modern society, you know, everyone's so stressed all the time. You talked about a dog race, people, you know, on this merry-go-round where they're chasing more and more, and they've never quite got enough. So this, people are so stressed. And in this day and age, cancer is so prevalent in today, isn't it? I mean, more so than it ever has been. What are your thoughts on traditional medicine, treatments, and things like that for cancer? What's your thoughts on that idea?
By traditional medicine, you mean modern medicine?
Yeah, allopathic medicine, you know, like your GP and A&E, etc.
Because it's not all that traditional.
That's true. Yeah, good point. Well made. Yeah, so modern medicine.
Well, I've never been, I guess, what you would call a fan of modern medicine, and I might not be quite as militant as I was years ago. I still wouldn't be my first choice, especially, I've just been reminded about this, not so much with cancer, but my mom just broke her hip a couple of weeks ago, so I've seen a lot of traditional medical things that I don't really want to get into that. But I am sure it maybe saves lives here and there, but I'm not a huge fan of dealing with things after the fact in general, especially at that point. I understand that prolonging life, if it does, can help people make better choices. But again, it's a deep question, Danny, because, you know, for some reason, longevity and staying alive has become very important, more important than quality of life, apparently. And so I don't think much about prolonging life when people are miserable or that kind of thing. So I'm probably off the topic, but it's an emotional topic for me because my dad did die of cancer, and it's just a rough place to be. A hospital in general, it's not a healthy place. I'm not sure how people survive it who don't have a lot of family around as advocates. So, you know, I can't really disconnect that from the traditional medical approach. It's like, even though I see cancer maybe as an opportunity to explore where we're not aware of our wholeness and where we're in conflict and all that, it's the traditional medical approach doesn't leave a lot of room for that, shall we say.
Yeah, very true. Yeah, very true. They don't tend to talk about eating and moving and thinking on purpose. With that purpose to be healthy, it's not really their model, is it? It's drugs.
No, and admittedly, they would agree that's not their role. But again, I don't see how you could separate it. It tends to be, to me, in my experience, I have not had any prolonged stays in hospitals, thank goodness, but it doesn't seem to be a very empowering or healthy experience.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So at that point, people obviously have to make their own choices, and it's tough to make different choices at that point. So, you know, if anything, that question brings us back to the other one. Let's start making the kind of choices we want to make now. Well, let's stay out of hospitals. You know, they're not healthy places. They're not even great places to die, in my experience. And I'm talking about the United States here. So things might be different there, but I have a feeling they're not too much different. So
I don't think they're much different at all, mate, apart from the fact that you don't have to get your credit card out in the hospital over here. But
yeah.
Every, I mean, you pay for it obviously in other ways, but just not at point of sale, if you like.
I get it.
The whole philosophy is the same for sure. Mm-hmm. So, I absolutely 100% agree. You know, prevention, as we talk about in chiropractic all the time. But as you mentioned right at the beginning, people aren't necessarily ready for it at the time that you might come in contact with them. So
maybe they should hang out in a hospital for a couple of hours.
Maybe, and then they feel depressed.
Yeah, as a weekly ritual, it might inspire us all to start making better choices now. Because yeah, it's wonderful when somebody makes better choices after something happens. But there's an old saying in chiropractic, something like, "What's good for you when you're sick is good for you when you're well." It's obviously just a different motivation factor.
Yeah. So,
you know, and I think we all think we're invincible on some level, but yeah, I'm making better choices this week as a result of my 2 weeks in hanging out in hospitals and stuff. So yeah, you know, we do the best we can, I think.
Absolutely, mate. So you run quite a lot of workshops and seminars. One of your workshops I'm looking forward to attending in the spring in England is Chiropractic from the Heart. Tell us a little bit more about that and what's involved in that. What's the story behind that, mate?
They grew out of my participation in a workshop that I helped at many years called The Gathering, which was done by Jim Sigafoos, a very famous chiropractor. My version. So we do a bunch of personal development work with the goal of, so with most chiropractors especially, I find there's not a lack of knowledge or a lack of knowing what to do. It's just we don't do it. So a lot of it is exploring what's holding us back, but more so we focus on, just like chiropractic, we focus on what's good. And we learn our core values and we learn what's important to us so we can make those kind of choices that we've been talking about here. It's what I always try to do with chiropractic patients is give them a clear direction to be moving toward rather than something to fear or move away from. I find that brings a lot more joy and empowerment. And when we start making those kind of choices, it makes it easier to keep making those kind of choices. So that's what we do. At Chiropractic from the Heart, we it's about coming from our values, coming from those deepest places of ourself, that when we make choices from those places, it brings in a beautiful feeling of self-satisfaction and self-love. So it's just a matter of practicing that and getting more used to it than the kind of things we do now with those feelings.
Cool.
And in a nutshell.
And is there things like breath work? Because I remember in Cairo, Europe, last year, I was going to say this year then, but it was last year, doing a breath work session. Is there some of that on Chiropractic from the Heart as well?
There's always breath work. That is one of the core elements for sure. And yeah, breath work is very powerful. And it's just breathing. It's just like it sounds. Folks lie on the floor and we show them a pattern of breathing and they just breathe according to that pattern and stuff comes up, you know, physical stuff, mental stuff. It can be intense, but it's very safe. We've never lost anybody. And I tell people about the worst thing that can happen is that you'll leave some things behind that weren't serving you and were holding you back. And that's what universally people report afterwards. So yeah, it's a very powerful and beautiful healing, letting go sort of tool. Yeah, that's kind of how the weekend starts, and then we go from there.
Excellent. Look forward to attending that soon, my friend. So for those people that want to find out a little bit more about you, Stu, where's the best place for them to find you online to connect with you?
Oh, thank you for asking. I have a website that's BittmanBliss, BittmanBliss, and the word bliss at AT. Oh, excuse me, that is not. That's my email. BittmanBliss.com. See, I'm such a techie. So I navigated this successfully. So that's my website is www.BittmanBliss.com. And I also have a podcast. Am I allowed to mention that?
Gosh, can you? Yeah.
That's Stu on This at buzzsprout.com. So no hyphens or anything. StewOnThis.buzzsprout.com. In case I didn't say that correctly the first time. StewOnThis.buzzsprout.com.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for taking out the time out of your busy schedule to be with us today, Stu, on the THC podcast. I really appreciate it, mate.
Well, I enjoyed it a lot. And I look forward to seeing you in a few months.
Absolutely.
Thanks
again, mate.
You do.
I will be in touch soon, mate, and I look forward to seeing you in May, I think it is, for Chiropractic from the Heart, isn't it? So looking forward to that.
That's correct.
You've been listening to Dr. Danny Scarhill on the THT podcast, and I look forward to seeing you and connecting with you on the next episode. All the best. Take care.
You've been listening to Dr. Danny Scarhill on the Total Health Transformation podcast, helping you to eat, move, and think on purpose. See you on our next episode.